Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Hello there.
And Josh Brown.
Hello.
Chaps, the BAFTAs for 2020's video games are out, which means that there are topics worth discussing and debating. And even this morning, we already clashed on who deserves this lead supporting or supporting leading role or whatever it is. We'll get to that stuff. Because I'm going to open with the biggest thing that's on here, the best game category.
Wow, we're wasting no time
no,
at all.
No, why would you? I'm going to tell you about your day. We can do that when we're not recording. So, best game. Games that are up: Control, Disco Elysium, Luigi's Mansion 3, Outer Wilds, Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice, and Untitled Goose Game.
Wow.
Goose Game stands out the most for me.
Yes,
out of them.
Too.
Even though I think initially, as like a general reaction, I would like, you know, Luigi's Mansion feels like it doesn't belong considering the caliber of what else is there, minus Goose Game. But Luigi's Mansion is just incredibly well designed. It has that Nintendo polish all over it. It's very arcadey, very fun. And I think it's one of the most polished games, one of the most pristine games that's on there.
I didn't realize, just looking at this, there's no Resident Evil 2 on any of these categories whatsoever.
No, what was you nominated for, though?
Everything.
No, you wouldn't.
Best game?
Best leading performance.
What Culture's best game of the year, 2019?
Yeah, that is
true. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about the year before or the year before either. Crash Bandicoot.
Crash Bandicoot was not a new game.
For
me, Control here.
Yeah, Control?
Yeah.
Control feels like, I mean, out of those ones, I think it would be Sekiro for me, just because...
Really?
Yes, Ben Roy, why? Yes. Because Sekiro is the most proficient thing. The amount of, like, the way it's just so perfected. It's so time-tested. You've got a veteran studio and exactly what they're doing and rolling together all the lessons learned from Dark Souls and Bloodborne into the best third-person combat system this generation.
Sounds like you just described Control there.
Outside of Devil May Cry 5. Right. Josh, what do you think?
Control, I loved at the time, but that game had an ending that just left me feeling a little bit cold. Yeah,
yep.
It didn't really have an ending, which was sucked because I was so invested in that world. I thought the combat was excellent. I thought the mythology of the story was really well done, and like the world building was really, expertly conveyed. I loved walking around, reading every single bit of extra detail I could. I loved the madness of that music video towards the end. I loved that it was just Remedy having full creative control and doing something mad, but I don't think it quite came together in the same way Sekiro did for me. For me, with Sekiro, it had the combat, it had the story, it had the setting, it had everything that just sort of coalesced into something more than the sum of its parts, whereas now I think back in Control and I think about the level design, I think about the mechanics, but I don't really think about Jesse as a character or the house as it is in the narrative.
Considering how much they set up and how immaculate, like you said, that world building is, and they have this Men in Black meets Twin Peaks. Like, it's Remedy AF. Like, they have everything from Poets of the Fall to returning actor James McCaffrey is the dude that talks to you on either side of the telephone and everything. I loved Control in terms of all that stuff, but I didn't think the story went anywhere. And because they've already announced two DLC packs, it's like, okay, well, I guess that's going to be the thing that's going to finish it off, which hampers it in terms of holding it up as best game. Ben Roy's cringing. What do you think?
I just hit the mic there. I hope in the next game they don't do the cliffhanger DLC like they do with Alan Wake, because I feel like shooting here, people are hanging too much on that, when really for me that game just it's more the, you shouldn't really do this, but like the story behind it, how it's like we made this on the cheap and somehow it sold, everyone thought it sold bad, but it actually sold pretty well. And I still think about the oldest house and everything around it, and like how cool that world was and how they made just a tower block, just a, you know, normal office block, so interesting with like just character in every aspect. Like you go into a room, there's just, this room's covered in post-it notes, but why? Let's find out. And again, the ashtray maze, or when you go right down to the bottom in the basement, there's a bloody Minds of Moria Easter egg in
That's
there.
That's the stuff that I think they do better than anyone else.
And the fridge. The fridge that the God, man the has to keep watching. Otherwise the fridge is going to go mad.
Everyone goes on about this effing fridge. It's not that good.
It's funny.
It's fine. Like, it's a 30-second thing.
It's like pressing L1 for a whole game isn't that good either.
But it is, isn't it? If you build a whole game around it. If we're gonna contrast and compare, I don't think that, like, Control is such a full package as Sekiro. Like, yeah, one of my criticisms of Sekiro was that once you get in good at, like you said, matching L1, you can beat that whole game just tapping L1.
Yeah.
And matching that stuff. You do have to upgrade poise at some point, otherwise you'll get overwhelmed by the likes of the giraffe. But like,
or the monkey that throws the big poo at you.
Sure.
All right, I think this is a bit reductive, right?
Yes.
Because when it comes to control, all I was doing in the end game was flying around, throwing a rock at someone, then finishing them off
with no
pistol,
motivation,
you know what
whatsoever.
I mean? Yeah, and I feel like when it comes
play
to
how
Sekiro, you can.
You can't play all you want. You can play one way.
There are multiple guns. It's like, I mean, if you didn't explore them, that's your own fault.
No,
really.
that's not the same.
If you use the powers in the way, like, you could throw something at them, pull up a shield, you know, do other things.
That's all you can do. That's not the same as the different abilities in Sekiro.
All you can do is maybe use a sword to morally block something.
It is madness. But I haven't played Disco Elysium, I will say that, because that's the one I'm excited for. I think that would be really good.
We almost never will. But
for me, it is. Sekiro just wins out. Although they're all really great games. I don't know what Untitled Goose Game is doing there over the likes of Stranding, which I'm going to talk about.
That's their full-on look, mainstream audience. We have your banter pick
Untitled
thing.
Meme. Should we vote on each one and see who wins?
Yeah, well, actually, yeah. What would you go? You said Control, Benroy. Mine would be Sekiro.
Mine would be Sekiro as well.
Yeah, I think actually we should mention Outer Wilds, because Outer Wilds is going to get held up a lot because the sheer science in that game, the physics of it, the fact that they recreated a whole solar system and everything works physically. They literally worked out mathematically gravitational pull and how that means that they, even the creators said that when they set the planets on their orbits, they don't know exactly where they're going to go, and over time they would destabilize, and that's why the game's on a loop. And there's so much stuff to hold up in terms of it being an achievement, but at the same time I don't think it serves up its plot points and its narrative satisfyingly whatsoever, and I think you can waste hours trying to find the point of that game.
That game has left a footprint in the industry, and it's like it's left a mark on so many people. But again, like, I just don't think I wasn't going to say the right point there. I was going to talk about the narrative instead. But yes, I think it deserves to be in this sort of crowd. Mm-hmm. But for me, it would always be Control.
Goose Game, I will still totally champion Goose Game as a nice, tight stealth game. I thought there was more to that than I thought there was. Initially, I assumed there would be. I thought there was more of, it was like a Hitman style thing. It was way more causal. It was like, you know, put this here and trigger this, and this AI script will lead to this. And there was way more to it than just a meme. But at the same time, it's not the same caliber as the other stuff. And there's more games you could have nominated. Death Stranding could have been amongst this stuff in terms of like a overall package or whatever, even though I personally don't like
Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Or whatever that is.
Yeah. But I would say that it's quite a nice spread. You know what
I
mean?
It is a nice spread.
I do like that they've got a wide, diverse, varied amount of
that games. That is the problem with like list. Every list is like, do you go for the spread or do you go for the quality? Do you think what should win? Like, like say, a bit of a tangent, if you do best games ever, do you just fill that top 10 with Mario's and Zelda's? Like, that's always a big problem.
You could have like a one per franchise rule in that case. But yeah. I think if you're, for me, if I was Mr. BAFTA, if I'm, you know, Barry After, if I'm holding these things up,
big bad buff,
then they need to be the best of the best. Yeah. And Goose Game is not the best of the best. Although I can see the argument down the Pong Tetris route of everything it went for, it nailed. It's not glitchy. It's very well. It performs very well. Its scope is completely executed on, and it was played by millions of people and enjoyed by millions of people. So I can see that argument for it. But I guess the top two that we hold up are Control and Sekiro, and I guess we'll see how it goes. We should mention as well that Disco Elysium, we're all peasants with consoles, so we haven't played the PC version of that, but apparently Disco Elysium is phenomenal. We'll talk about Disco Elysium when it's on PS4.
So looking forward to that
game. Same. At some point.
It's never going to come to PlayStation 4.
Anyway, let's argue some more. Performer in a leading role, Laura Bailey for Gears 5, Courtney Hope for Control, Logan Marshall Green for Telling Lies, Gonzalo Martin for Life is Strange, Barry Sloan in Call of Duty Modern Warfare. I laugh at that just because it's Barry Sloan. I don't know why. And Norman Reedus in Death Stranding. I don't think Norman Reedus whatsoever deserves to be in it.
I don't know what Norman Reedus would have done to deserve it, apart from maybe that last cutscene when he actually
says
some
lines.
That
bit when he moves his arms a lot and they sort of zoom in a bit.
Big Bath voting for Big Barry. I'm not sure about that pick. For me, it's got to be Laura from Gears 5.
I think they're quite bad picks, to be honest. To be honest, I haven't played Telling Lies, but I loved her story, and I loved Alex Sambalo's script work. And I assume, because this is like a wider conversation, like, do you think that Logan Marshall Green and a game like Telling Lies, which is a series of live action clips stitched together, should that even be counted against digital performances?
I think it still should count. Because, I mean, after all, it's still like sort of video game. But then I quite like that in this space, unlike, say, the Oscars, where they don't really recognize motion capture performance.
Or horror.
they don't recognize a lot of stuff alongside what's like dubbed as good acting. Whereas in this space, for the BAFTAs of the video games, we can have motion capture performance, we can have, you know, voice actor performance, we can have live action performance, and it all falls under the same umbrella. Mm-hmm. I think it's a testament to how far the technology has come that I think you can't have them directly compete, because a motion capture performance can just be as compelling, if not more so, than a live action one. If it's directed well, if it's performed well, the script's tight.
Well, one of the massive snubs, which is, I forget the name of the actor, who's the dude who plays Die Hard Man? It's Tommy Earl Jones? Jenkins?
Yes.
I think it's Tommy Earl Jenkins. He has that phenomenal scene in Death Stranding, which, like, for me, is the best scene in the game. It's one of the most compelling pieces of digital acting ever committed to video games, and it's not even in here. And I don't think that... I guess they've nominated Reedus because you're with him more.
Well, looking at... Because Reedus is the lead.
I know he's the lead, like, but even in the supporting category.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, obviously...
Why the hell is Troy Baker?
Big Troy chewing up the scenery. He obviously deserves it. Mm-hmm. But looking at, the games that I play, like this list of like 30-odd, the leading contenders for actual leads, it seems pretty sparse.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If you're pulling in like Laura Bailey from Gears, like, yeah, she was fine. Like, you know, it was fine. Jesse Faden, Courtney Hope as Jesse Faden
No one in Resident Evil would have put Leon would have been the lead. No one in, like, say, Boy Bosses doesn't really have that. Devil May Cry, I mean...
Maybe. I mean, it's a great return for Dante, but it's like it's more
Deacon
Dante.
Saint John,
DSJ. You
know, funnily enough, I actually might have had him in this list just because I think is it Sam Witwer who plays Deacon Saint John,
Mr. Force Unleashed himself.
He's always really good, but he's sadly been in games that haven't been as well received as perhaps his talents deserve. If that makes sense, I want to see him in a properly brilliant, well-written, like story-driven title, because that guy is so good. I would give it to Laura Bailey for this.
I think I would, but it's because the rest of it is so fine. I can't comment on Telling Lies.
I think out of the leads, I think she has not only the best like performance, but it's like just so emotionally driven at points. And I really got into the whole part of Gears, where the world's falling apart again, and I believed in her story and her struggle to find out her origins and what was going forward.
Oh, the thing, to mention another snub, I would totally have John DiMaggio's Marcus in Gears 5. Mm. The scene with him and JD, depending on who you save, both of those are great, but the one where JD survives and they hug it out, it all broke me as someone who grew up with Marcus, and I love seeing a big macho dude admit that they have feelings. I think that's one of the most compelling things that you
I
can
think
do.
Definitely supporting him would have been great.
He's not nominated for supporting. We haven't really, like, we might get to the supporting category later, but there's some notable snubs, like Tommy Earl.
So what's your vote for... out of that
I don't know, because Barry Sloan is like memorable as Soap or whatever the hell he's called, but I just, they don't stand out. It's not like Chris Judge as Kratos. It's not like, oh my god, this dude needs to get it. I would default to Laura Bailey, I guess, or maybe Courtney Hope, because that character has some arc in Courtney in Control.
She's almost too meta at points, I feel, like, for me, a full-on... Again, that could work for video game character, but a full-on performance, Laura had the best.
Yeah, for me, the character writing isn't consistent for Jessie, because they have her inner monologue where she's more snarky and she's more like Max Payne and more like a Remedy character. And then everything that she says when she's sitting down is just more forthright and what do I need to do? And it's more cold. And that kind of... They're trying to do the duality of someone, but it doesn't really land.
It's funny you should mention Die Hardman, and it's Tommy Earl, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. His real name is John McClane in the game.
Yes, of course it is.
Yeah, Tommy Earl Jenkins.
Why not? I loved that scene that we're talking about, the breakdown scene towards the end, like you said.
Out of the nose.
It's one of the most emotional pieces of video game acting I've ever seen. But I wouldn't say it's a snub, just because I think the rest of the performance, while still great, but I don't think he had the scenes or the writing to really, you know, sustain that level of, you know...
Maybe watered down by explaining the latter tier.
Essentially, the character, Die Hardman, for the most of the game, is this person who welcomes you on missions.
His name is more memorable than him.
His name is more memorable than him. Mm-hmm. And I think that scene is an awesome reflection of the actor's talents and what the character could be, but it's it's 1 5-minute sequence in an 80-hour game.
Yeah, I would say, I'm only saying it's a snub in regards to everything, the other people they've got, and then looking at the caliber of the, or the performances for the leads as well. Yeah, I mean, if that performance that Tommy Earl drops towards the end of Death Stranding was in a game like The Last of Us or Horizon or God of War, we'd all be championing it as the next milestone in motion capture technology. Yeah, if he had his
own sort of like, say, few levels where he's contained in there and that was it, I agree, that would have been perfect.
Yeah, if Death Stranding wasn't so insane, I think they could have landed that stuff. So yeah, who's your shot? I'm going to go with, I think, Courtney Hope. Is that what yours was as well?
No, sorry. Laura.
I apologise. Laura Bailey.
I'm going with Laura as well.
Big Laura. So next category is debut game. I think we've played the vast majority of these. But we've got Ape Out, we've got Death Stranding, Disco Elysium, Katana Zero, Knights and Bikes, and Manifold Garden. I haven't played Manifold, but I've done the rest.
I'm not going to lie, this is a huge blind spot for me. You can still come, many of these.
Come barreling in with your potential recommendation.
I can't. Let me have a think.
I think you might be going for a Death Stranding, but that might only be based on what you haven't played. Me and Ben Roy, we played Ape Out.
Wow, Josh, looks here. Ape Out is phenomenal in the way that the art design is so simple. Mm. It's the colours and the music blend so well together. I've not played a game like that in so long where the music is so dynamic and affects what you're doing at each point and really builds up to the point when you're just smashing guys with a big door as a big gorilla.
So that game is a top-down Hotline Miami style thing where you play as an ape who's literally escaped from a science facility and you just go around mashing dudes into walls. You can pick one up, you can use as a shield, which will absorb one bullet, and you can then throw them at someone else. But yeah, the big takeaway from that game is that it dynamically mixes a jazz-based score underneath. So all the crescendos, like there's a cymbal crash every time you smash one off a wall. And when you're moving forward, the rhythm that he moves in is the dung 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 underneath, and it dynamically puts the score together based on how well you're doing. I love that. There's like some new games are starting to do that. No Man's Sky did it, and the Final Fantasy VII Remake does it as well. That would be why I would hold up Ape Out as maybe, for me, I mean, maybe Katana Zero. I adored that game as well.
It's also a perfect Switch game, and playing it on the way to New York last year, me and Am Nicholas were switching over and trading, playing a level after the other.
Nice.
And it's a great to pass around as well. It's just great to either just play for long stints or just the jazz to it. Just jazz.
It's got a
good more jazz.
It's got a great personality to it.
But for me, this category,
it's going to be Death Stranding for you guys, isn't it?
Yeah,
for
both of you. To, yeah. Like, I haven't played many of the other games in this category, but I think even if I had, it would be Death Stranding because that's one of my favorite games ever. I love it so much.
These children are poisoned.
Can I just say, when I went for the Platinum, it was playing like a brand new game. He's put two games into that game. He could have just done all the story stuff.
Be good if you wrote a story, wouldn't
that even more. You might be confused there, sorry.
No.
But then also, going back and just the technical, going, I want to get on the old Cara network, get in my truck and drive along sort of thing, or use zip lines, or help give the Elder 74 things, or get Sam Lake to finally give me that star. There's so much in Death Stranding, and I feel like it gets shunned by some people for certain reasons.
The story.
For the Kojima-ness of it. But overall, I think the story is phenomenal as well, and I love a lot of it.
Yeah, I just, man, like, it just left such an impression on me in a way that most games don't. Everything from the mechanics to the characters to the story to the world to the way it was shot. Like, the camera work in that game is something I can't stop thinking about. The way Kojima actually directs action scenes is so intense.
Even playing that game, I was moving the camera to make my own sort of panoramic shots when I was going around.
Yeah. I will say that I adored Death Stranding until the end. For me, the ending was such an insult, but I love the rest
of it. That last hour and a half cutscene, I had so much of a stress headache. Everything was building up to it, getting back to where you need to go. It's just like, I just need to do this. I just need to save.
It's the mountain bit. That's when it starts to fall apart for me, and then they don't have the answers at the end. And we did a whole separate podcast. Yeah, so you can go back and try and find that.
I love it when games invade your life, and that's what this did. I haven't played it since the first week and a half's binge where I just...
Every day, though.
Done it every single day, 8-hour shifts. And I was at work during 4 hours a day as well. So that was really hard to do. But I haven't played it since then, but it's a game that I keep thinking about. And I was on the train back from Scotland yesterday, and I was looking out at the like the lush green mountains,
thinking you could climb them.
And I thought I could climb them. If I was in Death Stranding, I'd love to climb them. I'd love to put a little ladder down and
place some markers, drop a rope over the side.
50 hours and four days, and it's also a great podcast game as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, I think some of the best pieces of art are the ones that get people talking. And Death Stranding, no one has the same opinion on Death Stranding. It's always a different reason why you liked it or didn't like it,
and no one's wrong. Yeah.
No, other than, well, we'll see. But in terms of a debut game, it's 2 points for Death Stranding. I think I'll hold up Katana Zero. I did that on Games of the Year so far last year. I think we did a video on it. Katana Zero is just, and again, a Hotline Miami style thing. If you made it a side on gameplay wise, and it's just like a hack and slasher, but you're running through, it's one hit kill, or you can get killed in one hit, but the story is the thing that carries it through. Those games don't tend to have beat for beat engaging stories, but it's all about this guy going through therapy and realizing that actually his therapist is kind of betraying him. And it's all to do with different drugs and psychological effects and psychotropic stuff. And he's kind of figuring out, like, what actually, why is he taking these drugs? What's going on? And that game, it ends on a cliffhanger because apparently the creator is going to do one or two more installments. But Katana Zero, as just a perfect mesh of like Hotline pace and story, was immaculate.
We get into this another time, but I want to ask how that cliffhanger is better than maybe the Control one. But let's move on.
Well, it's way more fully formed. It doesn't just stop and fade to black. That would be the reason why. But yeah, actually, I'm gonna say Katana Zero for my debut game. So next up is technical achievement. We got A Plague Tale, Innocence, Call of Duty: Modern Warfare, Control, Death Stranding, Metro Exodus, and Sekiro.
This is a weird one.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Yeah, because I'm assuming...
weird bunch in, like, different sides of the technical
Also,
spectrum.
Why the F is DMC5, Devil May Cry 5, not on anything? It wasn't anything at the Video Game Awards, and it's not on anything here.
Capcom was snubbed.
But they literally are. Like, DMC5, that engine, I'm sure they used the RE engine, to perfect effects. One of the best-looking games of the generation. The combat is liquid butter. It's 60 FPS. It's absolutely just gorgeous. It's the best one of that whole franchise. And no one seems to care other than Devil May Cry fans.
No. It's,
why not?
It's so strange, man. Like Ben Roy said, Capcom in general has been snubbed, but DMC5 in particular. I didn't even have high hopes for that game. I played the entirety of the other four games
in a row.
up to it. And I thought I would be DMC'd out, and by the time I got to it, I was just thinking, this is the best one.
Yeah.
It looks gorgeous. It is so well done. It was so solid. It was so polished and good. Mm-hmm. And I loved Metro Exodus, right? Mm-hmm. But in a category called technical achievement.
What does it do?
Was I do want to know what's the difference bits. There.
Yeah, like for me, Metro Exodus is a lush open world. It's really well put mm-hmm. together. But when in terms of polish and bugs and stuff, it was in parts falling apart at the seams when I played it.
Well, I mean, I would like it if when they nominated this stuff, and maybe they'll do this on the event or something, have in brackets what they're nominating it for. I don't care if you name game engines. I don't care if it gets more technical and nerdy. Let us know what the hell you were thinking dropping that in.
We all know, obviously, here that Plague Tale is the rats. That's why someone went this rat tech. And like, look at these rats.
Yeah, there's a lot of rats.
Good rats.
Oh, it was good rat tech, though.
It is really good rat tech.
Rat tech is the best thing in that game in terms of the technical stuff. But even then, if you really stop and look at where they end, you can tell the exact zone they're allowed to go into.
It's weird. Like, I kind of spoilers, not really, but when you get to the point where you can sort of control the rats, that comes so late in the game after, like, really, like, early 2000s rudimentary stealth sections, and it's weird.
Yeah.
They should have short half that game length and give you more rat time, basically.
Yeah. I think it's good to see it in there because ostensibly it is sort of a AA game, you know? Small budget than the rest, and it still looks gorgeous. I will always remember the time when you're walking through the pit of dead bodies and there's, like, kind of fires in the distance, and it's after so atmospheric. The battlefield. It's so atmospheric and so good. Mm-hmm. And for me, the images that A Plague Tale left were much more resonant and much more impactful than the actual story beats, because I was slightly disappointed with that, but I thought the way it looked and the atmosphere that was created was so, so good. So I'd be potentially inclined to give my shout to this, although I have to, of course, say Death Stranding again just because of the multiplayer elements, because I think that is really well done. And
that's a good point.
The big distinguisher and the real technical achievement there, the fact that you are encouraged to cooperate with other people that you don't even know, and the fact that it doesn't give you the option to grief anyone and you have to work in tandem with them.
Mm-hmm. Is that the thing you were going to say?
I, going back to that months later, things were now starting to deteriorate. So it was almost like, and it was, I was still saying hello and people were still like a shot of me.
Right.
So I would get hello back. But it felt more, it's weird, like more empty, and like things were deteriorating. So I had to make sure I was repairing things at the same time. And that sort of how multiplayer aspects where, so I just get a note saying, oh, so-and-so's already repaired this thing. Oh, thank God. And even building more roads in that point, building the roads all the way to Mountain, not City, and having people contribute this stuff, it really just the feeling of working together with people in this is just so cool, like rather than just shooting someone.
Yeah, and I think that should have been front and center of the game's marketing, because for me, that's the thing that Death Stranding knocks out the park, is that feeling of everybody working together, the world coming together, and, you know, like being that sort of person who donates to a charity or something. You don't know where your money's going to go necessarily, but you know that you're doing something good, and that feels good, and making a gamifying that feeling. And I love that. And the thing that I think that they hide is they don't let you know, matchmaking-wise, what bucket of players you're in. I just love that. I think that they pepper it all together so that at all times you're always with someone who is in a similar state of the game as you. And so you see the world get populated, get constructed over time as you're doing it the same way.
Coming across something that you've built and it's got 10,000 likes, and wow,
everyone's been through this
bridge
here.
I used really helped people. This one zipline, people have used this a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
It must have been such a hard thing to balance as well, because obviously when you're first making your way through the game, you haven't connected everywhere to the chiral network. You have nothing because you haven't activated the online system. Mm-hmm. And then the way it just sort of, it just eases you into those kind of like mechanics and those systems, and the way it eases you into the online integration, how that becomes more prevalent the better you get at being a porter and a delivery driver.
You're trailblazing for everyone else. So when on the way back, that you can build these things for people and they'll be fine.
That's the thing. I mean, like, it's not plot spoilers, but there's one bit in that game where you do need to traverse a massive distance. And if you've been playing the game, quote unquote, in terms of building stuff out, you'll already know which route you're going to take, your custom route that you've built based on zip wires or laying roads down or whatever, and that part of the game is the payoff, and you realize how far you've come. I think maybe all three of us for this would say Death Stranding, because I would for as a technical achievement, because I've never seen multiplayer, quote unquote multiplayer, done that way.
Shout out to the efforts of A Plague Tale, but for me, Death Stranding.
I think I love the way the control in the ashtray maze. I love the thing that they do that Respawn do so much, where they re-render a level behind you without you even realizing, and then you turn around and you're already somewhere else. They did it in Titanfall 2 and then did it in Jedi Fallen Order, and control does that when you're in the maze. enemies when you're turning around and different stuff's popping up without you even realizing. That's a great trick.
I must say, I do love the idea and the execution of the oldest house in general.
Yes.
Like, you've got all of these floors that nothing is ever how it seems, and the fact that it changes on the fly without you even realizing it, then you're like, oh my God, I'm in a different space. The way it messes around with like time and space, I do think is great. I think it's a really good category, all yes. things ended.
We should have, I can add on as well, there's a separate category for audio achievements. So before, when we were talking about Ape Out and stuff like that, because in the audio achievement category, just quickly, there is Call of Duty, Control, Death Stranding, Jedi Fallen Order, and Goose Game again. So I don't know if you guys would change what you'd hold up as an audio achievement. For me, Ape Out stands out.
I think Ape Out here, or maybe Control.
Yeah, I mean, Control's the ashtray, the big, when they finally, Poets of the Fall, one of my favorite bands, I literally have a tattoo, and when they bring them back
really?
In. Oh, yeah, it's on my left arm. It's there. No, it's not. It's there. And that's on my left arm. The good luck to you on the listener side, figuring out what I just showed Benroy. But the, when Poets of the Fall's bit, when they come in, and they wrote a new song just for the game, because they're friends with the Remedy people, every one of Remedy's games has a Poets of the Fall song in. And that bit, when you finally, you have all the powers, like Jesse's fully formed, and you're going to go after this final sort of revelation, and their song comes in underneath. The lyrics quite cheesy, but that's kind of what they're going for. Then it's this big wish fulfillment thing. I love the use of that song, but in terms of audio achievement, it's just baked into Ape Out way more than anything else.
Ape Out is the audio achievement. And
yes.
Things like Stranding, like going through the areas of the BTs, like some of the effects that boom, the chill that you sort of get through, and just hearing BB just sort of like start to simmer and like holding your breath, and all these sort of other cues that really bring that and make that turn that game to a horror game for a while. But I don't think any of these here stand up to Ape Out.
No, I mean, in terms of the way the music's baked into
Star
the game,
Star Wars is just Star Wars, and I know it's nothing different from other Star Wars properties, so I don't know why that's kind of that.
Well, this is it, because I don't know whether it would be my shout, but I would go, genuinely, I think, Call of Duty, right?
Ooh.
Because war games, there's been so many of them that we kind of take them for granted, so when they do when you like mix the sound together in such a way, it's almost like just white noise, because
COD
I've heard
perfect,
it so many times. But when I first played Call of Duty Modern Warfare, that's the first thing that took me by surprise. And it wasn't just the massive footsteps that alerted everyone to where you are. It was the way everything was mixed, the way everything was just delivered. I don't even play with headphones on, but it felt immersive in a way that Call of Duty never has before.
I see some problems, not a problem with big games, but so you get in GTA as well. You hear the stock noise, like, oh, that's door 7 sort of thing. does it feel fresh in this sort of thing, like grenade sounds and shooting the guns?
Definitely. For the longest time, I always thought Call of Duty sounds paled, especially in comparison to Battlefield, which for me was always the cream of the crop. And every time I would go back to Call of Duty, the gunplay was awesome, but the soundscape felt strangely muted. And like you said, Ben, like they were using stock sounds for a lot of it. Obviously they weren't, but in a lot of ways it felt like they were. Whereas here with the new engine, probably you can imagine that they've doubled down on the audio side of things, and they made it better than ever.
I remember in the beta when they first put out the 2v2 mode, and it was like, because that gave you a variety of weapons, so you knew every time, even when you aim with it, you hear everything like click into place, and it's like everything has weight and heft to it. And it reminded me of when Criterion did Black, the game, in like 2003 or something, and it was like, oh, we're gonna, you know, like prioritize guns, you're gonna want to fire these guns. And I think Modern Warfare brought that back in like a really good sort of tactile way. There's an overall music category, but we haven't played that much of, well, me and whatever, it's Control, Death Stranding, Disco Elysium, Outer Wilds, Link's Awakening, and Watam. And I think between us, we haven't played all of them. So I guess I would hold up like Control, I guess.
I would even go for Control, Death Stranding, and music.
Yeah, but Death Stranding for me is it's a low raw album.
I'm not shooting Sekiro here, but there wasn't there wasn't any memorable songs like from Bloodborne. There was the one where you fight the Bloodstar Beast, and that music, when it would always come on, would send chills through me and terrify me.
Yeah, Sekiro's not on this thing. It's in like everything else. It's in game design overall.
It's
not nominated for music. But not to worry. There's other thing though, multiplayer. I think Apex Legends, Borderlands 3, Call of Duty again, Luigi's Mansion 3, TikTok, A Tale for Two, and Tom Clancy's The Division 2. And I forgot The Division 2 even happened, to be honest. But whatever. Same with Borderlands 3.
I'd have to go Call of Duty again.
Yeah, COD.
I love that way more than I expected to. I was cautiously optimistic, as I am every every single year for Call of Duty, but this time I really thought they delivered. And I feel like I might be in the minority for that, because I remember being on the Reddit at the time when it came out, and everyone was hating this new style of player, which I think is
that's
fair,
just every year though.
Yeah, it is every year, but I love the changes they made. I love the new game modes. I love the gunfight mode. I love the ground war mode. I really enjoyed the maps that they keep adding, the season approach, battle pass approach. To me, you know, it's not perfect because it's still trying to get your money out of you as much as possible, but it's much better than the divisive loot box system of Black Ops 3 and 4. And I think, I don't know, it's the only time in recent years where Call of Duty has come out and I've wanted to play it after the first couple of weeks. I jump back in it now months after launch, which is not something I've done since Black Ops 2.
Yeah, this is the first one that's grabbed me in years. Like, I mean, like, yeah, I've played quite a big chunk of Black Ops 4, but this is like proper COD. This doesn't feel like some weird like sci-fi spin-off. I'm going to quickly shout out Luigi's Mansion 3. I think that might win it because the way that they do, you can split Luigi.
Guigi.
You can he literally poops him out and then you play as Guigi. So you have that sort of sense of dynamic co-op and you're always, there's like different puzzles that you need to approach together and different mechanisms and things that you need to coordinate together to get through as a pure multiplayer experience that's, well, I'm not saying necessarily feels original, but the setup, it's like you can play it single player or multiplayer. I think that might end up just winning it because you've kind of got Division 2 is very stock and Call of Duty is more Call of Duty and Apex is a first person battle royale. So I don't know.
As more of an observer on this category, I actively tried to stop playing Division 2 and it finally happened.
Right.
And Apex to me was just another battle royale that I just didn't need because PUBG is there and PUBG
Apex is great. But
I think that's going to win the BAFTA, but I think what should is Luigi's Mansion. Just an observer.
Yeah, the Division 2 being there for me is madness because both the Division 1 and the Division 2 I played solo, which is not how you should play
those games.
I know,
I do that as well.
It's I just don't want to play it in co-op, and I don't feel like...
I played Division 2 for probably too many hours. One for too many hours. This one, I couldn't wait to be done with it.
Right. It's stock third-person cover shooter, the game. Like and this isn't meant to rag on Division too much. They do it very well, but I think if they're going to... If you're going to hold it up and be like, this is the bastion of a certain genre or a certain category, and it's going to give it an award, it needs to have something else to it. And for me, it would be something like Luigi's Mansion. We should touch on Game Beyond Entertainment as one of our closing ones. We have other stuff like Family evolving game and
British
game. Could
you narrative a sec?
Narrative? Da, 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 da. Narrative is Control, Disco Elysium, Life is Strange 2, specifies episodes 2 to 5, the others don't matter. Outer Wilds, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, and Outer Worlds.
Fallen Order being on there and not Death Stranding is a crime.
I would disagree, because at least Jedi Fallen Order is a story. So
interesting.
I like three arcs to my stories, and I like satisfaction.
So we're going for Control there. Let's move on.
Josh, what would your narrative one be?
Well, I feel like I don't think I can really comment on this because we're like the two leading forerunners for front runners. Front runners. That's what I'm looking
for. That's Halo.
Yeah, I know. The front runners of this category seem to be Disco Elysium and Life is Strange. Mm. And sadly, I have not played either properly.
Okay.
So I don't want to.
I'm one of those narrative first people, like before than gameplay. Like I prefer a good narrative than like the perfect loop. But for me, like just looking at that, I don't understand why Death Stranding isn't there.
Yeah, I think, yeah, to be honest, it should be in amongst the rest of that stuff. I can't speak for those episodes of Life is Strange. Outer Wilds, though, like, I don't know. I have such a back and forth relationship with Outer Wilds because you do need to stumble into that game. No, Wilds. Well, Wilds is on there too, but Wilds is the one
that... Oh, they're both there?
Yeah. Wilds is the one that's more like...
Sorry, everyone.
It's all right. Wilds is the one that's more over the top and more like a science project. And I think if you do it, like, it's that difference in narrative and storytelling. And, you know, it is a world that's built for you to sort of drop into. But if you don't drop in the right place, you'll just miss everything.
The problem with Fallen Order story is that it slips into canon, just like, oh, another Jedi. And also the person you're fighting, the antagonist, I mean, that's the right word. I'm rushing over it.
Yeah.
Her story is vastly more
interesting. Oh yeah, way better than Kyle.
Then Kyle's just like, you know, Kyle Katarn, boring.
Yeah, you're not too wrong. The final thing which we mentioned before we came in that we would talk about is the Game Beyond Entertainment. Now, we haven't played all of these, but we'll see how we go. Civilization 6, Death Stranding, Kind Words, Lo-Fi Chill Beats to Write to. I love that game's premise. Life is Strange 2, again, episodes 2 to 5. They don't seem to like the first one. Neo Cab and Ring Fit Adventure.
I'm interested in this because this is the... I'm fascinated by the category because I'm not entirely sure what it means.
Well, I think
beyond entertainment.
Video Game Awards have a game for change where they sort of, they tackle more like relevant social issues or things that, like it says, kind of extend beyond the idea that a game is just a throwaway piece of entertainment. So I haven't, like Civ 6 Gathering Storm, I can't speak for. Kind Words is a lush little game where you literally log in and you write a message and you send it off into the ether and someone else will, it's kind of like Death Stranding.
And it's not been taken advantage of yet either.
No, they have pretty good mod tools on it.
Still pretty fresh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, lo-fi music plays in the background and you literally, you know, you send off like your question or your thoughts or whatever out into the ether and someone else will reply at some point and you just do that. You can also, you click on stuff to grab like paper airplanes out the sky and you can just help someone else. And so it's just that. It's just a big old swirling sort of conversation that I think, I love the idea of that and I think that that stuff works really well.
It almost feels like the category that's trying to bring people together apart from the civilization where you're literally trying to take over mm-hmm. a civilization. But yeah, it's a weird one. I don't know why they specify... those episodes like that for.
I guess that's where all the S hits the fan.
Do you think did episode one not come out the year before it was eligible for this?
Oh, perhaps? It could be. Maybe. Yeah, plus they offer that one for free, so I don't know if there's like a difference in how they want to categorize it. Neil Cab is a brilliant breakdown of being replaced by technology. It literally focuses on an Uber driver style person that works for this company called Neo Cab, and it's in a cyberpunk future where it's literally all those conversations about the efficiency of a human versus technology, and that idea of being replaced. I love its dissection of capitalism and like, you know, corporate thinking. For me, the winner of this is Ring Fit by a landslide because Nintendo have finally actually nailed the idea of gamifying fitness.
You bloody love that
I
thing.
Adore the Ring Fit. It's honestly, man, it's so good because no one believes it. Everyone went through the Wii Fit balance board and all these different sort of like half-baked approaches to be like, you know, calorie trackers and all these different things that they've done over the years. Ring Fit is the one where they've actually nailed it. And I know that the ring itself is just a Pilates ring, but the fact that it has all these different sensors in it, it can monitor your heart rate. You know, you put your height and weight into it and it gives you little daily challenges. The story's like, well, not a story, but you go through different levels. You have characters that talk to you, you can do quests, you know, you need to work out in different ways and do different stretches to open treasure chests. It's just, they've nailed it and it gives you a reason to, you know, you customize, your moveset is your array of exercises. So you can customize that based on what attacks you want to do. Some of them are group attacks. If you do like a turning circle thing, you'll attack three people. If you like, you know, you do a big attention-based thing where you're squeezing your arms together, that'll be a solo attack. It's just, they've just nailed it. It's a good RPG that happens to be an exercise game.
I'm going to give it a Ring Fit, not because I have much personal sort of experience with it, but because everyone I've talked to who has used the Ring Fit
is fit as F,
is
mate.
Fit as F now, and also has nothing bad to say with it, to say about it. They've all said the exact same thing as you've just done there about how it's the perfect integration between something that actually, you know, helps improve your livelihood and also is a pretty damn good game.
And also, like being on the Switch, you know, you just take the Switch to a different room, you can just set it up using the kickstand and just work out there. You don't need to do it on the TV. It's a great application. It fits the console. Like I said, it's an RPG first and an exercise game second, which is they've always got those the wrong way around. And so for me, it would be Ring Fit. Ben Ray, what do you think?
As someone on my Death Stranding island, I would say the emotional impact that game had on me and everything like that, me wanting to help people, I'd probably go for that. But because this game is also being overwhelmingly ordered by people in China because they're not allowed to leave their homes at the moment.
True.
I'm going to go for Ring Fit because it's actually supporting. Like,
it's actually saving
people,
a nation.
Saving people and giving them something to work out and keep fit while things are happening. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would 100% recommend Ring Fit if you've ever been curious on, like, you know, can it work? Because I remember when there was that app about being chased by zombies and it was like the one fitness app that took off because you put the headphones in and you're being chased by zombies. It feels like that level thing that it just works. And I think that, yeah, in terms of stretching beyond video games, it has a positive impact, but everybody else can come across onto social media and let us know what you think. Also, there's the hashtag WCGP where you can leave all sorts of different questions and ting for us to get to in the future. But for now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Goodbye.
I'm Josh Brown.
Goodbye.
I'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Get on the Chiral Network.
No.
Come on, join it.
No.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.